Welcome to the CRX Productions Educating Auto Voters premiere with our expert, Jerry Peters, live from Fort Irwin and Barstow Community College. Thank you for your service, Jerry Peters.
Thank you, Christina. I'm glad to be with you tonight.
Well, this Educating Our Voters show is an hour-long expose about the actual election of 2016 with our candidates, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, vying to become the President of the United States. And I want to thank you, Jerry, for coming to the Christina Silva Show to dissect and help us understand how to be safe and how to vote with some expertise that is unconventional. So I brought a special guest onto the line for this pre-recorded episode, and his name is Robert Graves, U.S. Marine Corps veteran and concerned community member that takes the LAVote.net very seriously from a very special perspective. So let's get started with you, Jerry Peters, telling us about your background in political science, serving as a director at a community college aboard a military base, and how you feel personally and corporately about the importance of your vote.
Christina, I will just say that the most important thing is understanding that voting is not only a right, but a responsibility. And that regardless of how you feel about the presidential politics or one particular party or the other, what you're trying to do is you're trying to say, where do I want to see this country go? And I think it's an individual choice, and I think that people should understand that there will be winners and losers. But overall, let me just tell you, America is a very resilient country, and I think regardless, we will be doing well.
Excellent, Jerry. Well, we have 12 significant measures in the state of California wide, home to 1.9 million and more veterans, and we also have a very serious way to vote early by absentee and also electronically. And so we wonder as citizens sometimes, especially like Robert Graves, if our vote is going to count legitimately and if our vote really ever will make a difference in our communities, like at Los Angeles County and even the county nearest to Victorville and Barstow. Share with us your opinion first before we get started, dissecting the state measures at hand and propositions that affect our youth to our retirees, about your choice and also about the legitimacy of our LA Votes Los Angeles County Dean C. Logan's registrar ballot system.
I will be glad to address it all. One of the most important things is, regardless of presidential politics, where your vote really does count is locally. And in your state, you are able to vote for congressmen. You're able to vote for assembly people, and you're also able to vote on what we call propositions. These are initiatives that have been brought up by the legislature or by the people to be able to vote upon to decide whether these things should occur or not occur in the state of California. And that does have a major impact about our state, and I think that's why it's important that people understand the value of their vote.
That's excellent news, Jerry. Well, we know and understand the vote because every year we get reams and reams of paper advertisements for our candidates and different propositions and measures, yet we may not understand when we receive our official sample ballot how to dissect it and where to start. So I'm looking at my general election book, and the polls open in less than 14 hours from now. I thought it would be great to have you as a political science major and expert share with us the easy way to take hold of these 12 propositions. And I'll name them for you before we get started, Jerry. That's going to be a state measure 51 through number 67, affecting pharmaceuticals, affecting our schools, affecting our state as a whole with regard to even the death penalty and everything in between, even bags at our grocery store at a cost, and flagrant measures like 64 regarding marijuana for recreational use. Help us, Jerry. Where in the heck do we start?
Well, I think we should start right at the very beginning and start with Proposition 51. And Proposition 51 is about borrowing about $9 billion to build new buildings inside the state of California, $7 billion for public schools, and $2 billion for community colleges. And that sounds good, but at the same time, we are going to have to pay back almost $8.6 billion just in interest rates to be able to build these buildings over these years. And so people should understand that it's going to cost us probably twice as much as we think it is to be able to build these buildings. Now, how you want to vote about it is up to that particular community and how they see their public schools and what needs to be done. Proposition 52 is the Medi-Cal hospital fee. And that fee has been on for several years. It seems to work well. It works for people that are indigenous, and they can get free health care. And I think that we should support Proposition 52 because that's going to help our community. And we need to think about the greater good. And this doesn't add taxes. It just continues something that we have done previously. Revenue bond, this is 53, all right? This is a very interesting proposition because what it says is that if the state of California wants to be able to spend over $2 billion in bonds, that they have to get the electorate to approve it. Sometimes they're able to sell $20 billion or $10 billion dollars in bonds to be paid off, and you and I don't, we probably won't live that long, okay? But, and I think that it's good if you want accountability, that the people should have the ability to say that I don't want to spend this much money without having the people say that this is what we need to do. And so I kind of lean to the fact that it's a good thing to be able to restrict government just ability to sell debt into the future. Christina, that's the first three. I don't know. We have a few more to go, but I thought you might want to give me a little feedback from your own discussion.
Most definitely. I want to give an opinion about initiatives 51, 52, and 53. I actually have pre-selected my own choice, and I agreed with you on all three, that we have kind of the same thought about where funds go, that we can track it, and also be able to put our opinion in on school bonds and on Medi-Cal and hospital fee programs,
yes,
along with revenue bonds. But
yes,
for someone that doesn't vote, which is Robert Graves, our public community listener that's on the line, Robert, what do you think about those first three initiatives, even though you're not going to vote? How will it impact you to understand what our expert Jerry Peters just shared?
Hi, Jerry. How are you doing tonight?
Doing well.
Thank you. And thank you, Christina, for having me on. I appreciate it so much. So I know she introduced me as not being – I guess I'm the outlier. I don't vote. I've never voted. I am registered to vote, but I have not taken it upon myself to vote, primarily because I don't take the time to make myself educated about the vote, and therefore I don't believe that I think I'm doing a disservice to other voters who do, and so there's more to that. But I'm currently a student at Cal State Northridge, and I know that I took a survey just 2 weeks ago asking what we want for new buildings, and primarily, like sleeping pods. Like, do we want to be the next Google? Do we want more technology where we could use whiteboards and kick our feet up and more food services? And so with that being said, the first prop, what, 51, right? The $9 billion for school buildings, is that being, I guess my question would be, do you, as a civilian who's going to be paying for that out of your own pocket at some point, do you feel that you're paying for the right things instead of who up our educational system and our teaching credentials and stuff like that? I mean, where does the line draw, and how do you delegate where the money is going after it's being voted for? And I guess, you know, that's my question when it comes to money. You know, $9 billion here, and then we're asking to tap into our bonds. And who's keeping an eye on that for the layman?
Well, I think that's a good question. And I think the most important thing to know is that most corporations have already understood that brick and mortar is no longer the means of communication or of learning experiences. Many companies connect throughout the world, and they're not building new buildings. What they are doing is they're learning to connect with individual people and creating teams that will support the vision and mission of their organization. And I think that looking at new technology seems to me to be a way of creating more equity for everyone to learn than maybe building buildings. I'm not sure, but at least that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I mean, I'm a firm believer in that we should be, because we all know, once we buy new technology is already out. So if we as the school system, the educational system, can actually be the front runners of technology or technological advances, the public school system primarily, I think that would be a good allocation of money. But from how I understand, again, like how I read these propositions, I just don't know enough about it. But it does make sense that you say that. So, I do have a question on the bonds. Can you explain that again? So we're asking to tap into a few million dollars in bonds or a few billion?
And we're asking to fund $9 billion in bonds, and we will pay back almost $17.6 billion in when we're done supporting that. So almost double. And I just think as low as interest rates are right now, that there is no reason that should have that much interest. I think that's not a good deal for California and for the public school systems. I think we could do a much better deal. It's too much interest. And,
well, that's amazing. Gentlemen, I hate to cut short on this segment about Proposition 51 through 53 because we have a 30-minute broadcast. This is a teaching note that will be edited out of the radio program so that Jerry can concentrate on initiatives 54 through 59, identifying those. Then we'll go to a commercial break live on the Christina Silva Show. Joining us again is Jerry Peters and Robert Graves, a citizen of the community that we want to know more about, because his vote does matter today, educating our voters. Jerry, we were speaking about Proposition 51, 52, and 53, and we got a great impact from Robert Graves, a voter that may reconsider going to the polls tomorrow. So pick up with Proposition 54 that talks about legislature and legislation proceedings for our constitutional amendment. Go ahead, Jerry.
This constitutional amendment basically states that before any vote can be done in the legislature, it has to be posted publicly 72 hours in advance so that the general electorate would know that this is a bill coming up for a vote. And I think that this is good because this is about transparency. And I think most Californians believe, and I think, you know, veterans and active duty military all believe that transparency is much better. And having these things out there 72 hours in advance allows everyone to read about it and at least ask a question or two before the vote is taken.
Thank you, Jerry. What about Proposition 55?
And that's the one that is going to extend the education funding based on the fact that those individuals that make over $250,000 a year. And I think that that's a good idea because it is not increasing taxes. It is maintaining what we have currently done for the last, I think, 4 years. This would extend it again. And it doesn't seem that it's had a negative impact upon those in California.
Great. Well, Proposition 56 is something dear to my heart. I know many that are addicted to nicotine and smoke cigarettes, and that multi-billion-dollar business is now affecting our youth with vaping and others that, you know, get ill from this and even perish from cigarette smoking. How do you feel about Proposition 56 regarding cigarette tax?
And I will tell you this, Christina, as a smoker, I oppose 56 because I think that we have been discriminated against for quite some time. We are limited to little bitty spaces off in public areas to be able to smoke. And I think that increasing, I think that's why the police association came out against the tax too, is because all you're going to do is make it so that people are going to run cigarettes in for cheaper prices. Just as they're trying to legalize marijuana, now they want to make it so that the price of cigarettes go up, and it doesn't really make any sense. And all you're going to do is make more enforcement and those kinds of things. And those in the lower socioeconomic area, and many of them are veterans, will be impacted by this tax. And I just think it's not a very good tax. In Arkansas, we called this a sin tax because you were sinning if you were smoking. Okay, there you go, sister.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure our voters are being educated by this expose, first in history, look at how to vote and how to be safe when you're doing so, and how your vote matters even if you choose not to vote, what you can do in your community if you believe in something strongly. So thanks so much for sharing, Jerry, a little bit more about Proposition 57, which regards criminal sentences for the parole and juvenile criminal proceedings. Sentencing.
Right.
It's like a very touchy initiative.
Well, actually, Proposition 57 is a no vote, and I'll tell you why. Because if you look into the law, you will find out that domestic violence will no longer be considered a violent crime. Also, rape using rehypnol will no longer be viewed as a violent crime because there was no violence involved in the whole thing. And that people that are going to get their education inside a prison should get out earlier. And I'm not sure that's true, but I do like them getting their education. But I'm not sure they should get out because they decided to go get an education. I want to see how they do. And that's why I oppose. There are many other things. It's even assaulting the police officer is no longer going to be a violent crime. And I just think that's a bad law and a bad proposition, and we should vote no against it.
Well, on the Christina Silva Show, your personal opinion matters, and there's no endorsement intended nor implied by this look into propositions that we'll be voting for in less than 13 hours. We are dedicating our time to educating our voters about all the propositions, including our next one, number 58, about English proficiency and multilingual education. Hablamos en español in my household, Jerry. An extra cheese with that, please. How do you feel about Proposition 58?
Okay. I've had a lot of thought about this, and I said that we need to go ahead and vote yes on this. And I like the fact that it gives a variety of ways to create proficiency in English. And I think that's a good thing because I think the more of us that can communicate together, regardless of whether it's broken, it's like when I go to Mexico, I have some broken English. But if I knew it better, I'd be able to communicate better. And I just think that any method that will help create proficiency, let's do it. Yeah.
Thank you, Jerry. I can't wait to hear our community special guest's opinion about all the propositions, including this last one in this segment of Christina Silva Show on LA Talk Radio. It's number 59 for tomorrow's vote: corporations, political spending, federal constitution protections, and legislative authority. What's that question? Yes or no, Jerry?
I do believe that the Supreme Court made a decision when they allowed unlimited corporate spending in political elections. I believe it caused confusion between nonprofits and international money. It's just not right. And I think that we should limit corporate spending in elections, because it's not about the corporation. It's about people. And as long as we keep the people in mind, we will exist as a nation. It's when we think corporations or nation states are more important than the people, the group, we have to be able to work as one group.
Jerry Peters is joining us live for the first episode of the 2016 election Educating Our Voters show with your host, Christina Silva. We're trying to encourage you to know that your vote matters, and we have a special guest, Robert Graves, who's listening to Propositions 51 through 59. Robert, have you learned a lot about initiatives, since we know that you would like to save your vote for those that understand what they're voting for? Have you learned anything on this episode of the Christina Silva show?
I absolutely have learned. I've learned. it's
amazing.
Incredible. Do you mind if I ask one question, Jerry? What's the history behind the Violent Crimes Initiative? How did that come up to be even on the ballot?
I was having a hard time hearing the question.
Robert Graves.
I was asking. Go ahead. Can you hear me?
Christina, what was the question?
Oh, Robert Graves was asking about the Violent Crimes Initiative and how it even made it to the ballot.
I'm not sure how it made it to the ballot, but I believe it was proposed by the governor as a cost savings to the state. In other words, we could release more people earlier, and that would reduce our population in the prison. And I am not opposed to that. I think we should, but I think that we don't redefine what violent crime is in order to be able to reduce our prison population. We need to make sure those that are violent offenders stay behind bars. And those that are not, those that may have had non-serious felonies, they should not be back there. And that's my whole point. I just think that we need to keep people that are violent behind bars, just as you would with any animal that may be rabid. And we need to make sure that our people are protected. And redefining the definition of violent crime is another example how legalism comes into the situation, and all of a sudden these things are no longer violent. And I don't think that we can redefine. I think that if you abuse your spouse or your mate or whoever it is, that is a violent crime, and it cannot be redefined.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And I also agree with you when you speak on the progression of where we should be as people, you know, with inclusion of, the inclusion of Spanish and other countries. I spent a lot of time in Canada, and if you go to Canada, everything is French and English, so, you know, and they don't have a problem with it, and they embrace it, and being a Californian, I think that we should embrace it, too, just because you're right, it eases the process, and it helps businesses, and, you know, it helps people. If somebody ran up to you in a state of frenzy, and and they need help and you don't know how to help them because we're a broken language. No, I absolutely agree with you on that. That's very interesting.
This is so great, gentlemen. We're educating our voters live with Jerry Peters, our political science expert, and we want to move on to the rest of the measures. Ready, Jerry?
I'm ready.
Well, Proposition 60 has to do with adult films. And so give us a little scenario about what that means and what the impact will be on the yes or no votes to Proposition 60.
All right. Proposition 61 is about pornography and about whether people should be wearing prophylactics when they're having sex.
That's Proposition 60, Jerry.
Oh, 60?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
And that is that correct. It's about prophylactics, and it's number 60. I just didn't want to get it twisted. It ain't 61,
okay.
And it ain't 69, folks.
You got it. Christy, thank you for the clarification. And needless to say, I thought that is absolutely correct. I don't think anyone should have to be exposed if they want to star in a movie that they would be forced to be unprotected by someone else in that industry. And I'm not particularly big in that industry, but, you know, and I just think it's good for the industry to be able to have safe sex.
Great. I have to agree. And now with Proposition 61 and the state prescription drug purchases, it's near and dear, as we are veterans, to vote correctly on 61. Share the impact.
Christina, I think this is probably where I'm going to go against all the veterans groups, and I'm going to say that we should vote yes on 61. I listened to Bernie Sanders' arguments about it. I think that in the greater good, I think that we need to put more pressure to bring drug prices down, and I think that California can start that process. And I think that if the Veterans Administration will hold their ground, it can make a difference, and we can all be winners if we vote yes there. And I'm sorry, but that's just my feeling.
Well, believe it or not, Jerry, I'm voting yes on it as well, and that's my personal preference along with yours. It happens to match up because I have a mom. She's not a veteran, but she did have a major surgery that requires her to take extremely expensive prescriptions, and the overall impact and confusion when reading these propositions helped me to change my vote, because I definitely voted no in the beginning until I talked to both my sister and my mom, who have to pay countless dollars to maintain health with these prescriptions. So thanks
absolutely
for that.
Absolutely.
Yes. And moving on to another very, very extremely touchy subject, especially for our religious persons out there that believe in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, Proposition 62 is talking about the death penalty and the changes therein. We have initiatives on this ballot that for years and years continue to be minutely changed or modified in some way. So help us to understand from your personal view, Proposition 62.
Basically, what I understand is that Proposition 62 would end the death penalty. And I think that there are times that individuals do heinous acts that they need to be held accountable for. And otherwise, it's almost like we are allowing them to continue on their beliefs and ideas even in prison. And some individuals are very, there are individuals that are predators. All right, Christina, and I don't want to be alarming or anything, but they're predators. And I think that those predators should never be released. And some need to be put down just as a rabid dog. And that's my opinion. Christina?
Yes, Yes, I'm floored by that answer, and I have to agree. Even though I have Christian values, it's going to be a very fine line between choosing to institute the death penalty. But it's been one of our constitutional rights to know about this, and it's not our decision to be God or anything when it comes to these types of penalties. But in some cases, I have to agree that in order to make a statement to curb the potential for someone else to choose to do those kinds of acts in the public, it will then stop and act as an example. So God forgive us, but we have to make sure we monitor with billions of people on the planet that the greater good and our public remains safe.
Yes, I think so.
And moving on to another very fun thing, I am a pistol packing U.S. Marine. I believe in my amendment rights. Get that Glock and let's head to the range. Can I get an amen, Robert Graves?
Okay, Christina, I am voting no against this. I'm just going, okay, I think that the government has enough means of tracking people with guns that we don't have to start paying them to go buy our ammunition. And we need to, and it's not about being secretive or anything like that. It's just about, come on, you need to track your weapons better. If that's what your problem is, then track that. But let's not start tracking the ammunition, because, Christina, sometimes I like to go out in the desert and shoot 200 or 300 rounds in the evening and have a good time just shooting and enjoying the afternoon. And I don't want to have people sitting there going, what's he doing with all this ammunition? And I just think it's ridiculous, to be honest with you. I think move on to more important things.
Well, folks, we have a consensus on the no vote on 63. Right, Barry?
Absolutely.
Good job. I got injured with my weapon in the Marine Corps, and I'm going to have my fellow U.S. Marine comrade Robert Graves on the line as our public voice here on our call, educating our voters, to give his personal standpoint about that. And we hope that we're educating a voter and making a poll presentation out of you, Robert Graves. Maybe you'll go to the polls at least on Proposition 63. How do you feel about personal handgun safety, Robert Graves?
Being a PMI, so my secondary MOS was primary marksmanship instructor, and I got out of the Marine Corps. I met my girlfriend, who's now my wife, and I taught her how to shoot. And when I took her to the range, I gave her the four safety laws of, you know, handling a weapon. I believe that if you want to buy a weapon, then you go ahead and go through a weapon safety course, and then everything's A-okay. But I think that it's unfortunate because, like you said, you like to go out and shoot some rounds. I like to go out and shoot some rounds. Christina just went to the range yesterday or the day before, I don't think it's fair because people who don't go shoot or have never shot or understand the process or, you know, it's one of those. It sucks. It sucks because people have such a negative connotation on, you know, weapons, and because they don't understand weapon safety. And I agree with you 1,000%, Jerry, on that. So, but
we've got a Semper Fi unanimous vote for no on 63 with your host Christina Silva, our special guest Robert Graves, and co-host Jerry Peters, educating our voters. Well, looks like we're going to have to head down to Fort Irwin and get that skeet shooting going on. But be safe, folks. If anyone's going to do anything, which I consider my new firearms hobby safe, they're going to do it anyway. And when it comes to the times and the signs of the times these days, it's okay to be neighborhood watch savvy, but do it the right way. I went for a year before I purchased my new Glock 19 to make sure it was the proper fit for my right-handed handicaps that I've suffered over the time, to make sure the recoil wouldn't take me out of my perfect stance at the range. And it is a way to decompress. It's just something as military mates and comrades that we favor motorcycles and weapons. Right, Jerry?
I think so. You've got it right, Christina.
And take your youth to a personal home safety course, which there are so many experts out there wanting to make sure our children don't get into gangs or, God forbid, get into the cabinet where your weapons are held. We don't promote purchases of guns or any kind of violence or any ways to get rowdy if 63 doesn't pass. We encourage you to make a personal decision if you're going to do something to do it, whether it be Proposition 60 or Proposition 63, everyone. You're listening to the Christina Silva Show live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on LA Talk Radio. And now, for the final four, Proposition 64, Jerry Peters, is the Marijuana Legalization Initiative. Recreation for us is the range and riding on two wheels to go out to Fort Irwin to support the troops. But there's a threat on California that 64 may pass. Share with us the impact, Jerry.
Let me just say that I have thought about this for quite some time, and I think it should be passed. And I will tell you why it should be, because I think the fact that we actually incarcerate individuals, mostly minorities, due to marijuana trafficking and those kinds of things, when most people already know who are using those drugs. And it's not those individuals. Those are the people transporting. And what we need to see is that instead of the cartels making all the money, I prefer that the government management, just like a liquor store. In other words, you have to come in, you have to show your ID, you have to do these kinds of things, and all laws regarding driving or operating a vehicle, all those things still occur. All those things matter. All I'm saying is that I think we would be able to use our resources in a more productive way than pursuing those that are selling marijuana in the state, and that having it legalized, and that's true of even those that are veterans that have suffered from PTSD, and they talk about the medical benefits from it all. There shouldn't have to be that you have to prove it. If it will help that individual, if it will create peace for that individual, that's what we should be looking at, because alcohol is a much more dangerous drug than marijuana has ever been.
Wow, that's an interesting take in your opinion, Jerry. I mean, holistically speaking, this is a very, very versatile Proposition 64 with regard to legalizing marijuana, because for our natives, you know, and some of our other countries, these types of herbal or holistic measures are for healing. But I think I'm a little unsure about voting yes, because I'm the mother of two of our young son of our listener, Robert Graves, that candies with this HCG or any other measures that are disseminated can cause a really big to-do.
Well, I think it should be monitored much like alcohol. In other words, it needs to be regulated that there are no children. And I remember I used to tell people I didn't have a problem with almost all drugs being illegal. I think they should be legal, but I thought anybody that sold drugs to a minor, we should just remove them from society. So I are. In other words, what you do as an adult is you are an adult, but do not contribute, do not interfere with a young person by encouraging any kind of drug use or anything like that. Absolutely not.
Thanks. And with Robert Graves regarding Proposition 64, the dad of a gorgeous. Tell us, Robert.
I know I mentioned this earlier. My mother-in-law had multiple sclerosis, and a good friend of mine has cerebral palsy. So I see the benefit on a body, when an individual is allowed to, you know, smoke marijuana and relax the nerves and just become painless, I guess the best word would be. And I do agree with Jerry on the fact where you should be still responsible. You know, you should still not be behind a car wheel or, you know, working at a corporation on a high beam, you know, heavy machinery. Like, it should still be considered the same as alcohol. And alcohol has taken so many people's lives with psoriasis, you know, just mental loss. I think that it's tough. I think marijuana has better aiding effects than it does negative effects.
I have to agree. As your host, Christina Silva, that Proposition 64 is very, very versatile. And I also just have a concern for Jerry Peters to consider about marijuana being laced or chemically grown faster than it normally would, say in Ethiopia of clean earth. You know, how are we going to mass produce that substance for these rightful issues like pain management? And go ahead, Jerry.
Well, I think that we're talking about Western medicine versus Native American and Eastern medicine, where herbs and those kinds of things were used to be able to help heal people. And we thought that they were kind of barbaric, but in fact, they do have medicinal purposes for everything. And I think we've learned that over the last century or so about our Native Americans, and whether in Africa or whatever, they were able to put together medicines that were able to help each other and do things. And I think that, you know, marijuana is a herb that is grown. It just grows. It's somewhere out here. God put it on the ground. I don't know. It wasn't manufactured by man. It just occurred. And I just think that if there is anything that needs to be changed that could make our country less violent, less police stops, less trafficking, less profiling, just let, of all the drugs, let it go. Let it go. Go after people that are really making a difference. Get the people with the opiates. Get those guys. Don't. That's my opinion.
Reporting live for the Christina Silva Show, educating our voters. We have a couple more state measures to examine with our expert Jerry Peters and our guest Robert Graves. So on to Measure 65 about carryout bags. I want to be eco-friendly and save the earth, but is Proposition 65 going to be a yes or no, Jerry?
Actually, Christina, it's a yes, because in the long run, what we're going to have to do is we have to understand the impact of plastics and their biodegradable aspects. They're not very good, and once they get inside of water, like the ocean and lakes and in the ice and snow, animals can be harmed by it all, and I think that we need to get out of the plastics business and start to be able to use sustainable bags to be able to do our grocery shopping and purchasing.
I must agree that 65 is a yes. And I would like to know about Proposition 66. You know, the ballot numerically is jumping from topic to topic, and we want to keep our educating our voters about the initiatives and to stay focused on what we're reading. And there are a lot of conjunctions or ands or buts that could be interjected into the meaning of these propositions that can sway the vote, because yes may mean no. Right, Jerry?
Yes. Now, in 66, basically what is occurring is they are changing the procedures, which are going to make it more efficient. And I don't like to use that word, but you know how death penalty can be drawn out over 20, 30 years. And sometimes people go, you know, what was the use of a death penalty when the person went in and now they're 76 years old and they were 41 or 30 when they went in? And this is going to establish more direct procedures about how that will occur. And it supposedly will make the process a little more efficient, and I don't like that word, but in other words, you can't keep coming back over and over and over again over little details. You need to have substance, and I think it's necessary.
Great. Well, a lot of the state measures are inherited, and they continue on the ballot every 4 years as we look forward to 2016 presidential election, along with state measures, local measures, and county measures. We've got to be educated, folks. So you're listening to the Christina Silva Show about our final proposition at hand, number 67, about banning single-use plastic bags. And we have another plastic bag initiative, number 65. How do they correlate, and what would you vote on Proposition 67, Jerry Peters?
All right, Christine, if I voted yes on 65, I've got to vote yes on 67, and that's just like the ban of plastic bags. I go, that's it. They got to go. The first one was to take money and to be able to use it by the state to do things. This one just says get rid of plastic bags altogether. And I think that that's fine. I believe that the public is ready to be able to use, you know, carry bags and things like that. So I think it's a yes, guys.
Amazing. Well, this has been so great. Overall, we have our abounding question for our listener and our special guest, Robert Graves. Will you or will you not evolve and make it to the polls, Robert Graves?
You put me on the spot like that, huh?
Marine Corps style.
You know, I'll tell you this. I've heard enough today to make me go crack the book open again and read thoroughly through what it is that has been brought up. So that is a progressive movement in the right direction, if you want all honesty.
Amazing. Simplify. Thank you so much, Jerry, for going through all our propositions this year as we approach the polls at 7 a.m. tomorrow. Let's talk about those who voted early. And, Robert, keep on tuning into the Christina Silva Show, because now we're going to get into the two candidates and the reality TV splash we've had the last year with our candidates that are still standing, one Republican and one Democrat. Jerry, how do you feel about making an impact in Robert Graves' life, our fellow Semper Fidelis, Department of the Navy Marine?
Christina, when it comes to national politics, and I have voted in 1972 as my first presidential vote, I can actually say that I am not very encouraged about either candidate for president. I do believe that we need to realize that regardless of the side that we're on, we need to understand that we have a nation of checks and balances, and that we have a nation of individuals. And I am not really worried. I know many people are talking about which, if Hillary wins, what happens? If Donald Trump wins, what happens? It really doesn't make any difference. The most important thing is to go out and vote for your local congressman, your local assemblyman, your local sheriff, whoever it is that impacts you the most, because that's where government really does impact you the most. Not at the presidential level, at the local level. And that's why I want to encourage everybody, regardless of anything, go vote.
Amazing, Jerry. Thank you. Moving on to that vote, we have done a great job by making educating our voters a community responsibility. And I know, like we discussed earlier, that talking politics is like the not good thing to do or the not so great topic to cover, especially at dinner with your in-laws. Right, Robert?
Thanksgiving with strangers, yeah.
Most definitely. But today we get a chance to actually change that rule on the show. And this is awesome, because when it comes to our Senate and our Assembly, Jerry Peters and Christina Silva go out with ACME every year, especially advocating for our veterans in higher education, housing, employment, and education. And we can make a difference with our assembly members on our side because everyone wants to support the troops. Right, Barry?
Absolutely. And those that are willing to do so at the local level will make an impact at those at the national level. And that's why it's so important to go vote for those that are supportive of veterans, either in job opportunities or training opportunities. That's what needs to be done. You know, even entrepreneurial opportunities for veterans, because I believe that one thing about a veteran, once they have served, I believe that they have gotten skills that they can use to either be their own business person, whether it be a mechanic or whether it be running a lending institution. They have the skills to be able to do the job because they went through the Department of Defense, United States military, and they have made a difference.
Most definitely. We're talking about the general election tomorrow with a 12-hour countdown till the polls open on the Christina Silva Show. And you can listen live to us tomorrow about this broadcast to get more of an opinion, a new perspective, or a new revisit to your general election sample ballot booklet before you actually make the impression on your LAVote.net ballot. So as we wrap up this hour of the Educating Our Voters Splash regarding all the propositions, local, state, and government votes for the Assembly and the Senate and our new president, make sure you have an open mind like Robert Graves. This is an episode that's going to repeat throughout the year because our election every 4 years happens to be federal and at the presidential level, but there are lots of primaries to start over and over again throughout the 4 years. Stay connected. Keep on listening to the Christina Silva Show. So, Jerry, take us out on what's going to happen tomorrow morning in your voting world when you wake up.
Well, Christina, what will happen is I'll get up and I'm going to go ahead and head out to Fort Irwin early in the morning and see what's going on at the fort, making sure classes are getting started. Then I have a meeting with DPW, which is the Department of Public Works, because they're going to do some remodeling issues with one of my buildings, then to a meeting, and then after I'm done, I'm going to go vote, and I will come home and watch all of the voting results and see what's going on.
It's going to be exciting, and I want to thank you for your time today educating our veterans about the vote. Mi vota cuenta. My vote counts. Right, Jerry?
Absolutely. And Christina, thank you very much for having me on your show.
Thank you so much. Well, you'll hear more from Jerry Peters throughout the year of fiscal year 2016-17 on the Christina Silva Show broadcasting live on LA Talk Radio. And with Robert Graves, you can stay tuned to find out when he revisited his ballot if he actually went to vote. So make sure you tune in live this Wednesday, November 9th, to congratulate our new presidential elect and talk about what's happening in your local community. For now, peace out, be safe, and stay tuned.